No doubt.
Love Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up? This DJ One, man. Cole.
Hey, yo, we live on the Lord Manifest Show right now, representing. Hey, yo, Mark Live, you there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, no doubt. We don't get this going right now to Blog Talk Radio and to motherfucking StreamYard YouTube. Tonight is going to be a special, exciting, dope-ass episode. I am merging two websites at the same time. Tonight is going to be dope. For the people that's over in Blog Talk, I see a few of y'all in the chat. Hold your questions, because I know y'all got a lot of shit to ask to say to that brother Rusty Jumps. I know y'all want to know his history, and I see y'all motherfuckers over there representing Group Home. My man just sent me a message of a hat with the Gangstar logo on it. Hold tight. It's going down. Rusty Jux is here. Little Dap is on his way. I might have to hit Little Dap back because he tuned in. And right now, we looking very good. And we're going to get this. But I got to, you know, I want to put up my female artist. And matter of fact,
It's sounding cool. It's just I don't know if it's the phone because I'm calling you on the phone. Is it breaking up?
You can hear me, Mike? You can hear me? Okay, good. So I got Mike here with me.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, now I'm going to let my brother Russ come in and represent. I think I have to hit a little jack because he just hit me a little light. He's a little jack, but Russ, you want to get this going? Russ, look, why don't you just take 5 minutes, just blow up the world, just tell us about Russ Jumps, the group you run with, you represent, and just go for yours, Russ Jumps. Go, blow.
What up, man? What's going on? From Russ Jumps, the king of town, world renowned, you got to ask around. You know what I mean? The ninth man, the fucking click. Sean Prince protege. You know what I'm saying? Sean Lip Talk. And Europe, Japan, you know what I mean? And I'm blessed to be here, man. Word.
Oh, no did out. Yo, Mark Live, did you catch that?
No doubt.
Yo, you know what, Mark? If you can, see if you can hit that link again. If not, I'm gonna keep you right here. But Russ Jumps is right there. So Mark Live, if you want to go on in, hey, a matter of fact, let's do a text. Mark Live, why don't you see if Russ Jumps can hear you?
Yo, what up, Russ?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Yeah.
So go ahead, Mark Live. Speak up a little louder.
Yo, can you hear me? Testing 1, 2. Yo.
Yo, Russ.
Hello?
I am.
You
sound a little low, but I am.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm calling in from the Blog Talk radar, so I don't know what the audio's like.
Well, no, he can still hear you a little bit because last time we did the test press, it was still good. But Mark Live, go ahead and chop it up with Russ Jumps. Holler at him. I'm about to hit Little Dap again. and tell him to go ahead and chime in. But go ahead and ask him a question.
Yo, man, first of all, enough respect, man. Like, I started following you on Instagram, like, I don't know, like, 3 years ago, man. Like, I saw how you was building your audience, man, with and doing all the hardcore shit. And I don't know if you know my man, he's an engineer, Dan the Man. Dan the Man Pro.
Engineer.
Yeah, he used to work with Sean Price a lot. So he told me about you too. So I was started following you on Instagram. I'm like, yo, this motherfucker's hard as hell, but still ill. And then I made the connection when I was talking to Dan about Sean Price and you. So yeah, I've been following your stuff for a minute now. Like, you've just been consistent, man, like, with just keeping shit raw and hard. You know what I'm saying? Enough respect on that. So how you manage to, like, stay like that and stay consistent with your sound and the beats that you pick and everything?
Yo, man, I just love this shit, man. You know, I was just a kid that made his dream come true. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm doing what I love for a living, man. You know, it's a blessing.
Right. No doubt. So are you putting your stuff out now independently, or are you going through Duck Down, or how you getting your stuff out?
Yeah, I mean, I did, I put out 17 studio albums, and five of them been on Duck Down. The other be, you know, me putting it out personally or on other independent labels. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I keep it moving.
I see when you did the CD campaign a while back, where people were calling, were ordering straight CDs from you. That was raw, you know?
Yeah. The CDs, all types of merchandise, T-shirts, hoodies, all that, man. Word.
Right. Right. Now, I saw before COVID, you were doing a lot of shows, you know, in the city, outside the city. How did that affect you, like, you know, when COVID hit? How did you adjust to that?
I actually had an African tour set up, too, man, for, like, a few shows. And, you know, we was going to add on more shows, but when the COVID shit hit, you know, I had to put it on pause. But, you know, it didn't affect me in a bad way, man, because if you've been doing this for years and you know how to get money in this game, it's always all sorts of, you know, different strings of income. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm able to maintain and take care of my family the same thing, man. And, you know, when the show get back up, back in the cities and out of town and everything, I'm going to be on it.
No doubt. No doubt. Yo, Mark, did you get that?
What?
Did you hear what he said?
Yeah. I've been building with him. I hear everything.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure I got life up in here. I can say, hey, yo, Rusty, just say peace to Life the Oracle. She's like my first female MC. Go ahead and Bill. Go ahead, Life. Talk to him.
Peace.
Yo, Life, can you hear him? Oh, she's freezing.
Okay.
Damn, she's freezing. You freezing, Life. Russ Jux, what part of where you at? You in Crown Heights?
Yeah, that's where I'm from. Yeah.
So let me ask you, what you know about the East New York Walkers, brother?
The East New York Walkers? I don't know. What was that? That was a group?
No, I was saying, you know that East New York Walkers. I'm from over there on Hegeman and Sutter. You know, ODB used to be around there. So I know you're in the Crown Heights. So I was like, yo, what you know about the East New York Walkers? The brother used to come through East New York.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from the whole boss
of
Brooklyn, man. I got love for everybody, man.
Salute
to my man, P.F.
Cutting
and Blase Blase, you know what I mean?
So let me find out, you a Brooklyn Knight like me. You know every square inch of BK.
damn, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, look, hey, go ahead, Life. You was freezing. Oh, our mic is messed up. So Russ Jones, talk about the show you just did this past week, because I wish you would have told me about it. That was a celebration to Sean P, right?
Yeah, man. Sean Bright. I think she was trying to talk. Oh wait, it probably was delayed.
Yeah, her joint is delayed.
Yeah, so Sean P, they came out with a beer. It's an oatmeal Guinness. You know, oatmeal stout.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, it's amazing, man. It's, you know, man, his legacy is just got it. They got a space. I heard they selling it out of home. Everything. You know what I mean? It was a beautiful thing. So we all came out there to represent, you know, me, Bernadette Price.
Salute to Bernadette.
My man Rim, LG, Rock. You know, we all came out there and performed, and it was a great turnout, man.
Good. So what was the time that you got down with Duck Down before? Like, you your own MC. You your own MC as well as being with Duck Down, but as you as your own MC, when did for Rusty Jux have you always been Rusty Jux? Have you had a different MC name before you changed to Jux?
Yeah, I had a few names, man. And before Rusty Jux, I think my name turned to Rusty Jux around 16 or something like that. But when I met when I got introduced to Duck Down and Sean Price, I had a manager at the time. This was like around 96. My man Errol, he's family with Rock. He's cousins with Rock. And so he introduced me to Sean P, told me they was working on an album, which was titled Magnum Force. And he brought him around okay. We linked up, and I spit for him. And, you know what I mean, it was a rap after that. You know what I mean? I was featured on his second album, the title track Magnum Force, and a song called Gangs All Here.
Y'all remember that?
Yeah, then throughout, featuring on a lot of down compilations and albums, and I dropped my first album on Duck Down, 2008.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, check this out, Mark. Before you holler back at Russ Jux, Life, I'm gonna remove you, Life. I'm gonna call you back on Messenger. Rusty Jux can hear you, so you can ask him a question. Your video is delayed. Everything's delayed. I don't know what is happening. You've been bugging out all day. So let me remove you, and then I'm going to hit you back on Messenger. Yo, Mark Live, go ahead and go back at Jokes.
Oh, yeah. So what's the next thing you working on, like, for 2022? You got a project dropping, or are you doing any, like, collaborations?
Yeah, man, I got about 5-6 albums done that's getting ready to come out with, you know, different producers. And one of them is working on an album with my man DJ Views. He's a producer he's from Australia. I think he's out of Japan. But, you know, me and DJ Views got an album called I'm Not Like These Other Rappers. I'm working on another album with my man Skanks the Rap Martyr. It's fully produced by my man UG from the Cellar Dwellers. That album, then I got another album with me and Rock working on. It's called Crownsville.
Yeah, that's work,
man. That's work. Now, so like, do you find, like, nowadays you got to put out projects, like, back-to-back-to-back, as opposed to back in the days where you had to set up time and, like, 2 months before you drop, like, you feel like just dropping it? You know, as opposed to back in the days with the setup, what do you feel like is better?
Yeah, you know what? I've always been like that. Even, you know, back in the days, just always working on new stuff and new shit. And, but, you know, I think it's better in this time, you know, how it is in this climate, because there's so many artists putting out content. And I think, you know, a lot of the fans, they got a short attention span, you know what I'm saying? So I always want to. I'm always featuring on something, so you're going to be hammering me everywhere, you know what I mean? Even if it's not my solo shit, featured on you know, other artists, and I think that's a great thing, man. I'm happy for this you know, this internet shit, man. It's, you know, you can be worldwide in a matter of seconds, this shit go viral. Now, man, it's dope.
So Jux, you would call me crazy if I said I wish it was like back in the 90s and we ain't had this fucking internet. You call me crazy, right?
Yo, I mean, I think it definitely helps artists out, man, like a motherfucker, because, you know, a lot of people used to be struggling trying to get record deals and sending shit into the labels and getting pissed off about that. Now you really put your money behind yourself, you know what I mean, invest in yourself and blow the fuck up, you know what I mean? You get your own studio, you shoot your videos, you know what I mean? You put your own shit out, mess it up, you know what I mean? This shit is beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. No, yeah.
Because now you can just make an album in your bedroom. You know what I'm saying? And put it out. Put it up on Spotify. So, you know, you don't need the record company anymore.
And I got hooked up where I was gonna record my last five albums in my living room clap. You know what I mean? And I just went off to get and it just sounds crazy. You know, you just got to know what you're doing, that's all.
The home studio. So when is Crownsville due?
We don't have a date yet because we got like three more things to do, and then we got to get a few features on the album, you know, to fill it up. And then we good, so we don't have a date yet.
Talk about features for a minute. Talk to us about that. Because what does it mean to be a feature? And does it depend on if you get all these motherfucking views, if you get all these followers, or can you just be a sick, ill, dope lyricist without none of that, and you think that MC is nice like that to come in and spit a verse? Like, talk about the features. Like, what's the ups and downs of that? Like, just because you don't, or ill don't mean I'm gonna have to that I can invite you. Is it politics?
When I get I don't look for the hottest rapper that's, you know, whatever they views are and how many followers they got and all that. I fuck with people that I rock with, you know what I mean, personally, or met in the industry, you know, that I feel, you know what I mean, me and them got a connection and shit, and we make good music. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, you know, I don't pay for features. Look for, you know, for none of that over the top shit, man. I just, you know, collaborate with dope MCs.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, you know, you motherfucking verify. So why should you have to, you know, pay somebody for some shit? Because if anything, brothers is following your portfolio and like how you get down. So, you know, basically, I'm just saying, like, you know, does it matter, you know, who the MC is? Like, if he's a dope MC, you might have never heard of him, but you want to give him a shot because you heard the saying before, yo, Mark Live, you heard the saying before, it only takes one motherfucker to believe in your dream. One.
Man, especially with producers that I've did albums with. You know what I mean? So that's man.
Okay. So what's the state? Okay, talk about your upbringing, Jux, Rusty Jux. Talk about your upbringing in MCing between in rapping and these young kids. You know how the white government. Where hip hop lives, it's not hip hop, it's rap. Get the fuck out of here, stop saying hip hop, call it rap. So on your upbringing of how you started and where it's at today, where these kids are confused and don't know the difference of the culture and not living the culture. Speak on that a little bit.
I was just a kid in the 80s, teenager in the 90s, okay, so. I'm glad I was from that era. You know what I mean? I got to see, I had, you know, a a bunch of artists to look up to, you know what I mean? Like King, G-Rap, Rakim, KRS, you know what I mean? The greats, Grand Cooper, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, the Wu-Tang, Red Man, you know what I'm saying? The list goes on. You know what I mean? So I can learn from a lot of greats and, you know, been able to not just listen to genre of hip hop, you know what I mean? Not just hardcore shit. I love Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah.
You know, all different types of hip hop to Luke and them, you know, Two Live Crew, all type of shit, man. So I just love the music, period. And you know, all of the artists that I grew up listening to, you know, when I fell into the when I started rhyming because my uncle was an MC.
No doubt.
I wanted to be like him. And, you know, I made this shit happen, man. And, you know, I wish, you know, some of these young artists that's dope out there, man, you know. And even if, you know, some people figure, they like, yo, a lot of these new artists ain't shit and all that, you know what I mean? He's an MC. Going hard as you know, you know what I'm saying? But, you know what I mean? I put him on to all of the best shit, man. You know what I mean? He knows he has his hip-hop history down back. So, you know what I mean? I think it's on the OGs, the school of young boys, man.
Salute to that. Hey, Life the Oracle, can you hear us? Did you hear Rusty? Did you hear Rusty Jokes? Test your mic. Test your microphone. You kind of low. You kind of low. Try to speak a little loud. You kind of low. You know what you do? Call my phone. Call my phone. That way we can hear you and you can talk to Rusty Jokes. Call my phone because your mic in the studio is too low.
Okay, how's this?
Oh, okay, there you go. All right, now we can hear you. Now we can hear you.
Okay. Now I gotta get back in there.
No, stay like that. Talk to Rusty Jook. Ask him whatever you need. You want to ask him. Talk to him. We can hear you.
Yeah. Hold on. Try and get back in there.
Well, you can ask a question until, you know, you can ask him a question.
Yes, I see his first entry is crazy with all those mixed beats. And this guy is crazy.
Thank you.
Yes. I see also on one of your mixed CDs, called yourself James Brown of the Underground.
Yeah.
Tell me what's the inspiration behind that.
It was a fan, I don't remember. It was on Facebook or whatever, and somebody said that, and I was like, yo, you know what? That shit fits. And, you know what I mean? Because I be trying to work my hardest, you know what I'm saying, and keep putting out dope content and, you know, staying relevant. And so I ran with that, you know what I mean? I just took that shit. I said, yo, that's what I'm going to title my new album. And it came all up. Word.
Yes. Mm. Yes. So a lot of your projects are really seem like they're really
presenting me to the world with that one. And, you know, so on that album, I got a a bunch of different songs. It's not the same shit. It's everything is, you know, I was really trying to show my versatility. So the album really meant a lot to me. And the second album, The Execution with Marco Polo, the Meteorite album with Kayo Tachi, you know what I'm saying? It's just, you know what I mean? All of them got a special place in my heart.
Let's talk about your first appearance of the meeting. You know, I'm nostalgic. I'm all about nostalgic hip hop, too. So it's crazy to me. So I grew up on Delta.
Yeah.
So yeah. Tell me a little bit about how that came together and how was your like, first appearance. Really crazy, like, this year.
Yeah, yeah, yo. You know, I was a big Boot Camp fan before I even met them. So, like, when my manager Elroy introduced me to them, and you know, I got to work on that album with them, and I had been in a lot of studios before, but they was booking like official studios. You know what I'm saying? Like the real shit with you know, like what's the name of this shit? Like they was booking a lot of big studios, man, with official cats was coming through, like Primo.
D&D.
Like when D&D, that's where I recorded my first single called Live the Life. And I was still a fan, even though I was an MC, you know what I mean, trying to get my name known, and it was just like a beautiful experience, man. Like I really appreciated everything, man. Sean Price put me in the right position to blow my shit up.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace.
That's what's up.
No doubt. Yo, Mark, look at it.
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead. I'm trying to contact Lord Dap. I'll get him on the phone, but go ahead and holler at Chuck.
Yo, Chuck, so what's up with the do you a lot of festivals? Or you try to get booked on a lot of festivals and overseas? Have you been overseas yet?
Yeah, man, I've been everywhere overseas, man, from France to Italy to Germany to Switzerland, Austria, you know what I mean? Just everywhere, man.
Wow, that's beautiful. Nah, because you know, I've been in the game myself a long time. And, you know, when I came out to L.A. in with my group Raw Breed, we from the Bronx. When I came out to L.A. in 95, we got signed to Ice-T. And I've been, you know, Ice-T's hype man for the last 20 years. So, you know, I do every hip-hop show with Ice-T. So, you know, I've been in this festival circuit for many years, you know, Warped Tour, you know, Burning Man, Coachella. You know, so, you know, what I like right now is that, like, the underground artists are now getting on these festivals. Because I don't know if Radar told you, you know my cousin Cool Keith, right? And I started producing him. I did his biggest album, Black Elvis, in 99. I produced it. And then we went on the road. We hit every country. I hit every country with him. And, you know, and we had a really hard road just trying to get on those festivals back in the day because, you know, it was so tough for underground artists to get on those bills. But how do you find yourself now? You know, is it easier nowadays to, like, get on those tours and be in front of those big audiences?
I still think it's about the amount of work you put in, too, because you got to be a certain name. Your name got to be at a certain level for them to, you know, even highlight you to get booked for that. So, yeah. But, you know,
right.
It's easier from, you know, than back in the days, you know what I'm saying? But you still got to put that work in.
Hey, Chuck.
Right.
Let me ask you something real quick, Chuck. What's your take on battle? Now, when I listen to your voice, I like the energy. Because, you know what? I'm a little late in the game. We just started. Jokes, I know you coming to the Log Manifest show, but me, myself, I'm an MC. I go by the name Radar Van. So I love the voice. It's like what Guru said. You gotta add a voice. So when I think about your whole energy, because I got that energy myself and flow. But here's the deal. What's your take on the battle movement? Are you a battle MC, or you just like to keep the lyrics going and just like I throw a nice song at you? We can go song for song, or we gonna throw words like metaphors and punch. Like, what's your take on that?
I'm with all of that, man. I mean, I came from the battle era, and I did a lot of that battling and shit. So I'm with all of that, man. Like, even, you know, or song for song, whatever, how you want to do it. You know what I mean? I love all that shit, man. I was on Freestyle Friday for a couple weeks and shit, man. I was champ up there for a minute.
Wow.
I love
what on shit
on right now. You know what I mean? I listen to all the Murder Moves, Tate Rock, T-Top, you know what I mean? Briz Royce, I love that shit.
So you saying you would slap an MC in a minute with an ill battle? Want to just go hard and just throw it at him? Okay.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Hey, Mike, go ahead, Mike.
I ain't saying that. It's not out to all the battle rap leagues out there. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah.
Hold up.
That you already on them.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Go ahead, Mike. You can holler back at Russ. Go ahead. Russ, be cooked.
No, I'm still needing work ethic, you know. Amount of albums and projects, and also he worked with one of the great Pete Rock. Tell me a little bit about how that came together and the music, because I know that was epic.
You said Pete Rock, right?
No doubt.
Yeah, man, yo, that was fucking dope, man. That was another thing that's like, Sean, he was always telling me that Sean P was in his head, like, yo, you got to work with Rusty, you got to work with Rusty.
Whoa.
So he hit me up on Instagram one day and was like, yo, you ready to work? And I'm like, hell yeah. So, he sent me a few joints, and one of them stood out to me. That was the joint that I used. And later on, we titled it Black Fist. And single out like a year or two ago. And, man, that shit was just crazy, man. I had him out there in my hood. He came out to Crown Heights and shot the video. And Pete Rock is just—he official dude, man, for real, for real. And I'm very grateful that he worked with me.
Wow.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. So let me
ask.
Songs are crazy too. Jesus Christ,
Superstar. Yeah. That's one of Sean Pete's album, man. Hell yeah.
Oh Jesus Christ! Yeah.
Right.
Got a joint on there
called Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
Right. Yep.
Crazy with those concepts.
Yep.
No doubt.
Pete was one of the illest, man, for real. He still is.
Still is. Dead or alive, he's one of the nicest MC. Word up.
Yeah, no, like I was telling you guys, my engineer for a long time, Dan the Man, was really, really close with Sean P.
Hold up. Pause a minute. Mark Live. Mark, rewind that, Mark. Go ahead.
No, Rusty, I was saying to Radar earlier that Dan the Man Pro did a lot of work with Sean Price, and that's how I got introduced to Sean Price, just being up in the studio when he had the studio like across from Madison Square Garden. And be a lot of duck down people used to be up there. I used to see Drew up there, and it was amazing, man. Like, you know, just what he did, and you know, as a soloist, you know, it was just like was ill, man. It's crazy that, you know, I was actually up in the studio with Dan when I heard that he passed, and it was like, it was crazy, man. It was a sad day, man. You know what I'm saying? He was an impactful dude, man. You know what I'm saying? It's great that you guys had that relationship, and he, you know, he really believed in you, and you know, you like carrying his legacy, man. Every time I see you, you always represent Sean P. Every time, you know what I'm saying? That's love. I just wanted to say that to you for real.
You know, Sean got me on my first paid record. He took me on my first. He got me my first album. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of shit started with Sean P, man, and he didn't have to do none of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was doing his own thing, and he looked out for me on some little brother shit. You know what I mean? So it's always gonna be love, man.
Yeah. Go ahead, Life.
I just want to say, good look on that vinyl joint, Crying Heights.
Oh, yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, she did the vinyl on that joint.
Oh, yeah. I think that was 2017. I forgot which year that one was.
I mean, people don't appreciate certain things like vinyl.
Yo, that's crazy. I did that nonstop with the radio. With Red Alert, Chuck Chill Out, or Molly Mon, shit, I did that all the time. I used to record myself on the tape. You know what I'm saying? Y'all do that.
We all did that, right? Yo, Mark, remember that?
Yeah.
That was good, yeah. Right?
Wow. So Juk, so let me ask you this in a different way. What I was asking you earlier for the culture. When motherfuckers be like, where hip hop live, or these young ones, my hip hop album, but you know it's not the culture. They don't live the culture. So what is your take when you see, not so much, I know you're not a hater, you know, people want to say, yo, Radar, yo, you hating, like, no, I'm not hating, but I think you shouldn't use the vocabulary hip-hop. Get that out of your mouth, say rap, it's not hip-hop. You're not living the culture, so speak on that for a little bit, Judge, if you will.
Hip hop has grown so much, you know what I'm saying? It's a bunch of genres that, you know, different type of shit, like, you know, right now they would say trap or, you know, drill music and shit, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's all good, man, because, you know, when you listen to a certain type of hip hop, it's a lot of MCs in that category that you want to hear that you could go listen to. You know what I mean? You ain't got to listen to the drill or the trap if you don't like that. You know what I mean? You can still listen to the boom bap. The boom bap shit is here. You know what I mean? You got cats like Rusty Jux. You know what I mean?
Great all van, Lost Live, no doubt. Yeah.
It depends on who you want to listen to. You know what I'm saying? So,
true.
You know,
like the Oracle, no doubt.
You don't have to listen to the mainstream radio either. You can go, it's a lot of online, you know, DJ shows. You know,
like what we doing. Like what we doing, no doubt.
Exactly. So, depends on what you're looking for and what you're trying to hit.
So, okay. So when you hear shit like where hip hop live, but you know hip hop don't live there, how you feel about that? Should they call that shit like this is where rap live? This is where pop music live?
You know what? Oh, for real, I don't even care, man. Because you know, to me, I feel like.
But that's your culture, Jukes. That's your culture, Jukes. You gotta care because that's hip hop is your culture. When you see the motherfuckers over there eating off of hip hop, but it ain't the culture. Like you eating off of rap, you gotta care because you came up grimy. It's like hip, the real culture, the breakdancing, the graffiti, the microphone, the breakdance, the two-turn, that shit don't get a Grammy on Rusty Jukes. So that's why I say when you hear the frame. With the phrase, yo, where hip hop lives, get that out your mouth. It's where pop lives. It's where rap lives. So that's why I asked you that.
You know, because they see boxing rappers and they want to be in it. So the label is, okay, this is hip hop. We just had I don't know if I'm going to say no, so we just had a young lady that won for a category that clearly she was not.
So now it might just seem like it's the majority of whack artists and shit, but that's good for me. You know what I'm saying? That makes people appreciate what I do much more. You know what I'm saying? So more power to the word.
Mm. No, no, I respect everything that you're saying, Rusty Jux. It's just that just the way, because I feel with
who are you talking about this? Who are you talking about this? You speaking on culture, folks? Or are you just speaking on whack artists, too?
No, peep it. We're not going to say their name here. More five, you still with me? With us?
Yeah.
We're not going to say their name, Rusty, just like the Oracle. When they say this is the radio station with hip-hop, now in the early 90 days, New York with it, hip-hop lived, but today you use that frame, this is where hip-hop lived. And then you know hip-hop don't live there, and then you got, when you look at the Grammys, my name is MC Plastic Head. I just dropped my new hip-hop album. It's the dope. That's what I'm saying. Like, that shit ain't hip-hop. It's rap. There's no coke in it, Busty Jokes.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? That's why I don't even tune in this certain station. You know what I mean? I don't even, you know what I mean? I stay in my own lane and deal with like-minded people and shit. You know what I mean? That shit works for me.
Oh, yes,
you're talking about as far as, you know, the misrepresentation of hip-hop, but, you know, like Rusty said also, you know, it's a wide range of music now, you know what I'm saying? It's just different levels of the musical genres, you know, you got underground, you got stuff like what Khaled and them do, you know, but, you know, it's just the definition of hip-hop has been, you know, kind of watered down a lot, you know, and we just have to kind of evolve and you know, and like he said, just, you know, the more that the whack shit comes out of this, the stuff that's not true, it gives us more juice to do the real stuff that we do. So, you know, I understand that point of view. I think that's like, you know, you have to evolve. You know, we can be mad at it, but at the end of the day, if we want to stay in the business and do what we got to do, we got to adjust. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but Rusty. So.
Hold on a minute. Mark Live, go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna ask him. When you shoot your videos, like, do you use a certain type of video director, like a guy that you use, a go-to guy, or you use different people? And do you find it easier now to shoot videos than it was maybe 5-6 years ago when people were charging, like, astronomical money? Because I see you do a lot of videos for everything.
Really, I know a lot of different video directors, and I usually stick with, like, my man Mo Staffy, you know what I mean? And he's a black director. And, you know, mostly I have my son shoot my videos.
Oh, shit.
My son has shot, like, hundreds of videos for me, my 14-year-old son.
That's dope. Wow.
You know, I get paid for the song, then they pay me to do the video. I pay my son, and we put it out. You know what I mean? Get it, edit it up, and keep it moving.
How old is his son? How old is he?
My 14-year-old.
Nice.
Wow.
Yo, that's commendable. You.
This is not even what he want to do. You know what I mean? He's on some. He want to be a neurosurgeon.
Ah. Ha, ha.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Damn.
Yep.
Definitely putting out videos than before, because you know you had to have a certain amount of money to get them cameras, and now you can shoot it. I got the ill Canon, or I had the pocket joint.
The GoPro.
Yeah, I use my phone. I got a Galaxy S21 Ultra.
Okay.
That shoots an 8K. Like, it's crazy, man.
Damn.
Wow.
You can shoot videos with your phone then.
I've been shooting a lot with my phone lately.
Wow. See? That's ill. That's crazy.
And you
you save a lot of money. You get the material out faster. Yep. That's the beauty of being independent.
I got my own equipment and shit. I just go out. I just find a location and just go shoot.
Hmm.
All I got to do is buy the house.
Right. Old school. Put on the bucket hat and go, right? That's it.
Who's your top MCs? I know you said you got Underground doing your beats, Cellar Dweller UG. It's my brother UG right there. What's your top producers? Matter of fact, do you make beats? Do you make tracks yourself? Can you hear me, Jukes?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I don't make beats and shit. Word.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. I know you a good listener because you do pick your beats, right? You do pick what you want. So I wanted to ask you, what's your top producers as far as a certain sample, stop, or kick a snare, what's your top producers?
Just in the game, period?
Your top five, your top ones.
I would definitely say Ninth Wonder, Diamond D, Large Pro, Primo, Havoc, it's a lot of dope producers out there, man.
Rusty, I want to ask Rusty real quick. What do you think about the Griselda movement? I want to ask Rusty what he thinks about the Griselda movement and how they came up with that boom bap sound.
Yeah, man. I think that shit is awesome, man. I love the sound. I love the bars, the delivery. You know, the whole concept of everything, man. And you know, they put it on the map. You know what I'm saying? They put Buffalo on the map. And you know, a lot of cats wasn't thinking about that, you know, MCs from over there and shit until they came out and now they open up years down the line for new artists coming from over there to, you know, get in there and tear shit up. I seen them on the Fallon show. Like that, and they was doing that song called Brick, and I'm like, y'all, like you didn't see hip hop like that on one of those nighttime, you know, shows like that.
What show was it?
I think they was on Fallon at one time, like last year.
Griselda was that shit was crazy.
That shit was dope, man. Word.
Yo, Mark Live, you wasn't playing, yo. Griselda, yeah.
I got Conway featured on my one of the albums I dropped last year.
Oh shit, you got him on your album?
Yeah, on my Sulfuric Acid album and shit. It's a joint called
what is it called? Dome shot.
Okay, hold up right there. Now, how do you reach a chop?
Wig shot, my bad.
Wait, what's it called?
It's called wig shot.
Wig shot. Okay, I'm gonna have to peep that. Rusty Jux, what is the what's the politics? Sorta like what I asked you earlier as far as the feature, but you are a verified artist, but I wouldn't say Rusty Jux is at the top. I don't know, like the star status that Griselda has versus a Rusty Jux, meaning like how do you yourself catch a high platinum Eminem star, Jay-Z, whatever Diddy type artist? Like, what's the politics? How do you reach them?
I do albums with producers. You know, they pay me to do four albums. And in this case, the producer that, you know, to pay me to do that album, he said, yo, you know, I want to get Conway on the album. And I was like, yeah, he would sound dope, man. That's dope. So he handled all of that and got him on it.
Okay. Because I'm thinking more live, like the Oracle. I'm thinking is you doing the politics, Rusty Jux politicking with the thing.
It depends on the albums and the songs. Certain songs, you know, I got certain albums, certain artists on it, you know, myself. But with that one, that was him.
Yeah, because another thing, when you look at, let me ask you this. The street team, the management, the artist development, the whole team, do some of that shit still exist, Rusty Jux, or halfway? Because you got a team. Talk about that.
Well, with me, it's just all me. You know, I work everything, man. I do all the promo. I press everything up. I do everything. You know what I'm saying? And it just depends on which album I'm working on with producing, you know, if they got a label or whatever, or we doing this 50-50 and we putting it out, you know what I mean, independently together. You know, it just varies on each project that I do.
So, so the street team is like invalid. The street team and all that, the whole thing.
As far as me, you know, but it's a lot of artists that still got street teams. You know what I'm saying? And that always, you know. Yeah, I got publicists. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. That's what I
want to do. I do shit different. I work with different publicists. You know, like I got one publicist, my man Jerry, he do a lot of shit for me. I got another, I work with another publicist team called Perfect Time Publishing, and I got my albums like licensed. So they get on, I've been on featured on a Power episode, WWE, SmackDown, what was it, SummerSlam. You know, it's out right now. That use Rusty Jux for their intro music.
The wrestlers use
it, okay? WWE, NXT. One of them is a black wrestler named Carmelo Hayes. And his intro music, that's me. And it's another artist, another wrestler, I forgot his name. But, you know, they get my music placed on ESPN. You know what I mean? A lot of different shit, man. So, I work different, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's that licensing money, man. That's like a lot of artists don't know about, like, retaining your publishing
and being able to license your song. Wait a minute. I want y'all to splatter over each other. But wait just a second, Mark Live and Life the Orbit.
Okay, yes.
I want to take a phone call for you, Rusty Jux. I know this brother. When I told him you was on the show, I'm about to bring him on right now. Hey, yo, Carl, what's up, son?
What's good, God? What's poppin', man? What's poppin', man? Whoa.
Hey, yo, we got Rusty Jux inside to build another podcast show. I want you to holler at Rusty Jux, kid.
No doubt. Yo, Rusty, yo, shout out to you, my man. What up, man? What's going on, man? Yo, long time fan, been listening to you for a long time, fam. Real talk, man. All the way back to the Helter Skelter second album, fam. You heard? You know what I'm saying?
Salute, man. I appreciate it.
Word, man. Word, man. For real, for real. You definitely put it in, man. For real. You one of my top MCs, man, that I really, really listen to, man. That's real talk, man. You know what I mean? For real.
It's an honor, man. Word up.
Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt.
Word up, word up. Hey, like the Oracle, what was you saying?
Well, I basically, you know, was interested in what upcoming projects he would have that we like now. He kind of answered that a little bit. I know he had a song that was on like Gun Down. They were explaining a video.
Right.
So there was, you know, I just had questions on upcoming songs that were released on movies. If you were interested in doing soundtracks and how that goes.
Yeah, definitely, man. I'm interested in all of that. And sometimes, you know, when being that I worked with the those publishing companies, I don't find out until a fan put me on to it. They'd be like, yo, I heard you on the ESPN on a commercial or some shit, and then I'd be like, oh shit, that's how I know I got another check coming and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
I love that shit, man. So, you know, it's certain joints that I gotta do where I don't curse on the record, and you know, there's no samples on it, so you know, it could be licensed and cleared, you know what I'm saying? And that shit just works out, man.
So you don't that's good, because you are all around MC. If you saying that, hey, you got records that you cannot curse, or you just don't wanna curse, or however the way you do the business, and then on the flip side, you just throwing all types of darts at them and letting them have it, and that's commendable. That's good.
Yeah, man. I had an album from 2012 produced by the Archetype. He's a producer out of Boston. It's called VIC. That's still for my real name is Vic, but the album's still for Victorious Impervious Champion.
Mm.
You know, that album was, you know, I had a whole bunch of features on there. Everybody that featured on the album being cursed, and it was a bunch of legends on there, man.
You know who you reminded me of right now, Rusty Jux. Rest in peace. Remember Heavy D? Remember the record that he did when he was like, no, don't curse?
Yeah, with Graham Cooper.
That's dope. Well, you just took me back on that. Right.
That was my shit. I love that song right there, man. Rest in peace to Heavy D.
Yeah, rest in peace to
Heavy
D.
That's one of my mom's favorite rappers and shit.
Hold up. Hey, yo, check this out. I want to make a big announcement to everybody that's listening. I got my mind flipped around a corner. I'm talking to the people on YouTube up in the StreamYard. Pardon me for just now starting the motherfucking broadcast. Bear with me. Rusty Jux, now you're not going to lose out, because everything that Rusty Jux build on and said is over at Blog Talk Radio, but fucking pardon me. Hold up. We got some echo. We got an echo. We got a crazy echo. Echo is messing up. Yo. Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, you good now.
Hey, Mark, you still there? Let me bring him back in. Mark, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Mark, you still there? I'm getting the echo.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, shit. Let me kill that. Okay.
He's saying he did.
Okay, yeah, all right. Everything that was mentioned in the early beginning, you're not going to miss it, because the show is recorded. This is at Blog Talk Radio, but pardon me for the stream. I'm like, yo, Russ Jokes, we in here building, politicking. My man just he just hit me in the comments. He said, yo, God, when you gonna go live? I'm like, damn, Russ Jokes.
Pop up. I think we had like 5 minutes of shit now. I see.
Oh, shit. Here we go. This is Little Dad. Hold up. Mark Live.
Yeah.
Go ahead and holler at Jux. I'm gonna get Little Dad up in here.
Yeah. So what's the next show you got coming up? You got anything coming up in the city in New York?
Leaving Brooklyn.
Not at the moment, but yeah,
we're
working on some shit.
Right. Hell
yeah.
Yeah, man. You put in, man. You said you got 16 albums. You know what I'm saying? Like that's commendable, man. I know guys that don't even have one solo album. You know what I'm saying? Like 16, that's work ethic, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's how you stay relevant. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I always watch you on Instagram. Like, I'm like, this guy always putting out an album. It's always fire quality. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't fuck around. You know what I'm saying? So what gives you that drive to, like, keep the quality up, even though you know that you're so lyrically skilled you could slack? What keeps you still rapping hard and when you on stage, when I see you on stage just trying to kill the crowd?
It's like I was saying earlier, man, this is my love for this hip hop thing, you know what I mean? And I feel like I'm blessed to be here, man, and I wanna continue to build on that legacy, so you know, my shit will live forever, man. Word.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well look, we finally got my other star guest, my first star guest, Rusty Jux, my second star guest, Little Dap from the Gangstar Foundation, Group Home. And yo, Little Dap, how's your microphone?
You can hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you real good. Yeah, we can hear you.
Hey.
Little Dap.
Peace.
Yo, Little Dap, we've been in here chopping it up, waiting for you to come in. We done got major history with Russ Jux. We got Life the Oracle up in here, my brother Mark Live on the phone. We got a few people that's hit me in the head. I didn't have an answer, like, yo, when is Little Dap coming in? They loving Rusty Jux. Where's Little Dap at? So Little Dap, I want you to go ahead and take 5 minutes, if you will. Go ahead and just talk about the low budget environment, Guru, your history. Who, Little Dap, East New York, you know, that's our neighborhood. I'm from the East. Little Dap, go ahead and take it away. Like, take a few minutes to talk about who you are.
All right, see, well, you came from the Gangstar, you know, we all started from there, Gangstar Foundation, and, what else, long history with all everything, you know, very long history. And, I started, brought me in this line of work, all right, people, my big bro.
Hey, speak a little louder, Dad. Yeah, speak up.
Damn.
Yeah, speak up, like, speak into the mic, but louder. But say all of it again, but louder.
Hear me now?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, can you, Jokes, everybody can hear?
Yeah.
Mark, you can hear?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I started out with him, you know, my man Guru, you know, got me in this line of work and things and that nature. You know, when I met my man Guru, I met him in the summer of 1988. You know, my man Tommy Hill and Gusmo put him around and things and that nature. And, you know, and it was a good vibe at that time. It was, you know, everybody, you know, hip-hop, that era, you know what I mean? So, I think he just graduated from college or whatever. He was working for some type of like group home or something like that. And that's like something regarded like helping kids, people like that. You know what I'm saying? Because back in that era, you know, the crack era. You know what I'm saying? Dope thing era. So, you know, he used to work for the group home or whatever, you know, taking care of kids and, you know, stuff that was getting, you know, abused by the family members or whatever. We used to come around, after my people brought, after my man brought him around, and we used to come and check me and stuff, you know, on work. Come and smoke with me and stuff. You know, come to kids and stuff. You know, it's like, you do this type of work. Like, yeah, this type of work I do on the side. You know, because we're still, you know, investing in himself, getting his music together. And I was like, you know, when he used to come around and hang with me, I'm like, oh, you do this type of work on the side. You know? And I kind of understood him a little bit because, you know, I come from the street, so I understood, you know. So, like, you know, it got me kind of, like, more close to him on that and things of that nature. Because, you know, he do that type of work. I thought he was just doing rap or whatever, you know. And, but, you know, yeah, and then it just took off from there. It just got me hanging with him more, like, you know. And, you know, I understood his dream, what he was trying to do and things of that nature, how he left Boston. Stories and everything like that, break the thing. And I said, you know, I'm in the streets, so you doing your work. You know, I got my little street money, you got your little work money. But you got our follow, you know, doing whatever you want to do, you know, whatever you're trying to do, I feel, because I see what you're doing with these kids, but, you know, and all this type of work. So I said, you know, I'll help you out. You know, I got, you know, put my little street money with your little 9-to-5 money phone. You know, we run around. I run around with you and do the, you know, stuff. You know, whatever I got to do to pack it up. And,
okay.
You know, that's how. You know, then after that, you know, we start running hard. You know, and then you know, next thing you know, we do a manifest. And next thing you know, that you know, then you get a rep and all that. You know, because I start seeing the dream just like you start seeing the dream. You know, because I believe it. You know what I mean? That's why I'm losing. Nickels and dimes behind. You know, mind you, he's coming out of college, you know what I'm saying? He ain't got to be around people like us, but, you know, I just felt his passion of, you know, I said, man, he got something. And I just felt his energy. I said, I'm, you know, I got behind him with, you know, on that note, to make the, you know, the game you guys got today, game stuff, from like why I did. I was really behind that, man, you know, getting this.
No doubt. Now, pause a minute now. Before the questions come from the co-host, Mark Rippin. You heard all that? Mark, you still there? Mark, hey, Carl, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, fam.
Okay, hold on just a sec. Now,
Can you hear me?
Hold up a second, Carl. I got two dope-ass MCs on the show. So first off, Rusty Jooks, have you ever met Lil Death?
Nah, I never met him, but a lot of my people, yeah, so
what,
been a fan of his music for a minute.
Yeah, I want to introduce two MCs because, I wanted to have Rust Jooks or just Lil Death, but I wanted to have two dope MCs. True school MC. So what I would like for you, Russ Jokes, Little Dap, I want y'all to converse with each other, you know, holler at each other, and maybe inbox and see if brothers can get together and work. I definitely want y'all to holler. And Little Dap, you know people from Duck Down, Little Dap?
Yeah, you know everybody. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So yeah, you know the piece, but good. I want to definitely connect brothers together. So, yeah, that's why I'm glad I had to invite y'all together and get things popped off. Before you hit your question, Russ Jooks, anything you want to ask Little Dad?
Yeah. I mean, I think y'all better put the question.
But you were MC.
From what he was talking about the origin, you know, how he met Guru and everything, man. So that was good to hear right there. I'm just listening.
Yeah, I only said that. Well, if you do have a question, that's why I want to be like, yo, who brought Rusty Jooks and Little Dap together, the small fucker named Large Man. But yeah, no.
It's a Brooklyn thing, man. It was bound to happen, you know what I'm saying? And, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt. Now, Mark, before you ask Little Dap anything, like the Oracle, go ahead and holler at Little Dap from the group home.
First of all, respect, okay? Because I was one of those kids growing up in group homes and foster homes and stuff like that. And listen, I'm 42. Just saying a little bit about my age. I still MC, but for real, when y'all came out, I remember exactly when that song came out, where I was. And the shock that the name was Group Home, okay? So, to me, it was definitely a pivotal point in my life.
No, wait, life. Are you saying living proof?
Okay, let me get to the question.
Wait a minute, life. Are you saying living proof?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Are you kidding me? That was my shit. That was
real.
Yes, it mean a lot.
Yeah, yes. Go ahead, Lon.
Just basically, that's the 90s, you know what I mean? Just want to ask about how that album came together. I know it's Gangstar, and I think your production at the time was coming from Big Dez, from... You know, with the beats, and y'all were recording in the studios at that time. Tell me a little bit about the writing techniques when y'all were in the booth at that time. What was going through y'all mind, you know, while you're creating this project?
So, well, we had it already planned out. You know, like I said, you know, the whole plan was, you know, I got down with him, and you know, when we start moving around, I think, you know, I want to do some raps too. You know, it's really, like, worried, like, yeah, you know, when you start that day, I said, I always want to do something called group home. He's like, worry, you should do. Like, yeah, I want to do that. See, you're doing your stuff, but, you know, you got to do something. So once that begins, then we can go group home. Yeah, that's what I want to do. But my group is called Little Dolphins Group Home. It was like that, and that's when we changed it. It's like, nah, we got a freebie, and it's going to call it Love. I said, that's just down corner. And nah, just do a Love, you know, we freebie, and boom, 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 and say, spelling a little, boom, 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 L-I-T-T, boom. I was like, yeah, right, like, yeah, let's do it like that. Like, yeah, like L. Like, I mean, I said, yeah, like Love, L. He's like, yeah, like Love. Down. Like, now you look, that is by the L.I.L. I said, the cop is right now. Shit, yeah, go. I'll be a billionaire.
Like,
you know, so that's why you got, you see, we sparked the world with that.
Yes, I'm looking at a box.
You know, as far as, like, you know, being who we, you know, branding our name, you know, like I said, something we already had planned already. It's just a matter of time, everybody sticking together and getting to the light. You know, some people stuck the wrong trial, some people, you know, so who had that all, like, you know, we had it planned out, you know. He popped off, boom, you know, out, you know, just like we just to get a rest, you know, that's why I started the video because I helped him write that.
Okay.
And, you know, and so when he seen that and the world accepted that song and he had something with me more than, you know, besides just putting money up to the table and helping him run around, like,
mm-hmm.
I got talents, you got an ear for music. And that's when we really got it. Yeah, we locked in, right? We're going to do this shit, you know. So, yeah, it was already planned out.
No doubt. Hey, y'all, Mark Live, you want to holler at Little Dap?
Yeah, yo, Dap, peace, enough respect. Thanks for joining us tonight, you know, getting on. And now, you know, like, you know, you're a pioneer, man. Like, you know, just what you're saying with your name and
you know, like, you know, being the first to, you know, out here to do all that. And, you know, when you was, how was it when y'all, when they came to y'all and said they was going, y'all was going to get a deal for Group Home? Did you know that that was going to happen? Or was that a surprise for y'all to just right off the bat get a deal?
Working towards that, you know, Group Home was too long into the 90s. We've been running around with 1988, the summer of 1988. I ain't getting no deal with Group Home until, like, what, 94 or some shit like that. So I've been building my brand behind with Gangsta, helping building up Gangsta, and also helping my brand up, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, until we came out. So all them years I've been building up through Gangsta. That's why I was doing my appearances on their project and things in that nature. You know, me and Google had these things planned out of everybody. Not with other people. I don't know why. I who brought me the game. You know what I'm saying? These things were planned out with me and him, so it was a matter of time.
Let me ask you a question. The first album is definitely dope. But I was shocked when the second album, Tip for the Ghetto, Mark Live, like Jux. I don't know if y'all remember the Tip for the Ghetto. What was it? 1-800-DELLA-THUG. You had joints on there. Oh Sweet America, How Can It Be? Like, yo,
right.
That motherfucking album. That album, Lil Dap. Before we talk about MCs, Lil Dap, tell me about the fucking beats on there and the producers, because that album, now I won't say that album would be better than the first album, but I tell you, Tip for the Ghetto can run right along with the first album. So tell me about Tip for the Ghetto and that motherfucking production, Lil Dap.
Yeah, we put that, well, you know, I kind of arranged that, put that together myself. Anything with Group Home, I arranged on the project, stuff like that. Because I am Group Home, I know my shit. So, Tip for the Ghetto was just a reflection, like, okay, everybody was putting their energy on, man, this, y'all, man, this, and I'm like, no, you want to have gangs up, this puzzle was part of this picture, so let me help you out with that. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, you know, my first album, you know, me and Pamela, you know, helped out with really behind the scenes with that production. You know, at the time, he, you know, his name was born with, you know, popping and things like that, but people don't.
Okay, yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah. You kind of dipped out, but yeah, we got you back.
Me and him had a lot. It was like kind of like that out already. So, you know, I always said to myself, like, you know, if anything happened, I always been like that. I always tell people all the time that studio, because I delivered. So we
okay.
Get out and be like, listen, I want to get involved with my project, because anything happens to the man on production and shit like that, we be stuck, and now we got to worry about who was production, who we got to go to, beats and all that. I know how to make, I got to hear for my sound. I know what I'm looking for this project, for my project. You know, so I've been into, like, you know, on the production tip. I used to live with Bradford Marcellus with them, with Cool, Premier, and all of them. We used to live in Bradford house. Bradford used to take me around. Bradford used to leave me in the house, you know. Peace to my man, Bradford Marcellus. When he used to leave me in the house, he used to be like, yo, that's going to be here. Equipment downstairs. There's equipment downstairs. There's a drum set downstairs. A Yamaha piano downstairs. Boom. There's other instruments. From, you know, be over here, boom, play some instruments. You know, learn something, boom. Like, all right, so boom, I sit there, smoke me a little joint or whatever. I start playing with the drum. Next thing I know, I start playing with the piano. Next thing you know, I'm starting to get better and better at it by being out of crib, you know? So,
no doubt.
I used to play drums in the house, and I got better and better and things like that. So, cool, you
word.
You know, you can be like, yo, let me put you on this jazz guitar out. Boom, with him.
Hey, little Dap. Hey, Dap, hold. Hold it right there for a minute, Dap. Russ Jux, I know you gave us great time. I got all the anything that you said. I hate I missed the first part and just hit the damn button, but I'm going to send you the link from Blog Talk Radio. I know you got to bounce and get up out of here. Before you break out, Russ Jux, I want to know. Oh, you know what? Damn, let me look over there. It was a question from a fan. Let me get that question for you. You can ask and you can give your advice, and then we can say peace, and we gonna finish up with a little dab. Let me go over here and get his question. Oh, okay, yeah, I see him. I got him right here. The guy's name, James. His name is James Brad. He said, what's your take on coming out? Where's he at? What's your take on coming out to Alaska and signing autographs and performing? He want to know, have you James Brad? He want to know, have you been out to Alaska before?
Nah, I've never been to Alaska. No.
They're trying to get you out there in
the book. Okay. Okay. He said, would you come out there and sign some autographs for the kids out in Alaska that like hip hop? Would you come out there to Alaska?
I'm going anywhere on the map where they booking me at, meaning to come tear shit down, man. So I'm with it.
Oh, hey, James Brad, don't break out yet. Russ Jux, can you give the people over at Blog Talk, shout out your whole handles so they can hit you?
Yo, on Twitter you can hit me up, Rusty Jux 357. That's RustyJuxx 357. On Instagram is Rusty_motherfucking_Jux. Facebook, Rusty Jux. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, Rusty Jux TV. And salute to everybody on the panel. Salute to Lil Gap. You know what I mean? And thanks for having me, y'all.
Now, before you break out, any advice for this music?
Well, I will always say invest in yourself, man. That's the best. I mean, be consistent. Don't let nobody tell you can't do what you want to do. But definitely invest in yourself, man, and keep pushing.
Yes.
There you have it. Mark Whipping, you there?
I'm there, man. Thank you, Rusty, man. You a legend, man. I love all your stuff, man. Keep doing what you do. And we appreciate all your hard work and your love for this art form and this game, man. One love.
The killer will be hitting you up in a minute, Jones. NPC killer, he'll be hitting you.
All right, peace, y'all.
Oh, thanks for coming on the show.
No doubt.
Thank you.
Peace. Let me see if I can get Little Dap back here, Mark Live.
Okay.
Like the Oracle.
My drums on that joint. You know that.
Wait, what you say?
Lil Dap played live drums. A live one time production. He's just literally playing the drums.
Wow.
Hold up a second. Wait, hold up a second. Hey, Dap, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, hey, can y'all hear Dap? Can y'all hear him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Hey, Little Dap, yeah, we can hear you much clearer now, but go ahead, finish where you left off at, Dap.
Oh, okay, you got it?
Yeah, we can hear you crystal. Finish where you left off at.
Cool, you know, so that's where I left off at. We recorded the second album for the Tear for the Ghetto. So, like I said, I was prepared and ready for the second album because I didn't, you know, agree with certain things, you know, after the first album. So, you know, that would prepare us for the, you know, the underground, you know, album. We didn't have the promotion and power behind us, you know, regarding the first album, but the second album we were prepared regarding production and putting things together and structuring a project, you know, and putting it back to our fans in the universe, you know.
Now, let me add, well, I'll, Life, go ahead, Life.
I just
just had one question because I'm really amazed by this. It's a rumor that on some of the production, you actually played the drums live. Is that true?
Yeah, I played it on Down the Backstreet on the Gangsta album, on Jazz and Jazz album. I played on that album with Reyes and Donald Byrd. I played the drums on Down the Baby. Yeah, I played the drums on that.
You hear that, boy?
I learned playing the drums.
Yeah,
like
man.
I said.
Yeah.
We love live instruments over here, and that's real raw right there. So this is not even a kid. This is him actually doing this live on a record.
Yeah, I was hanging with the jazz players and stuff like that. So I was hanging with the jazz players. So, you know, Donna Bird, Roy Adams, hang with Donna Bird doing it in the park, boom, 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 doing it after dark. I played with them guys on, you know, Donna Bird, the Blackbirds and stuff.
No doubt. Hey, yo, Carl, you there, Carl?
Yeah, I'm here, fam. I'm here.
Yo, holla at Little Dap from the group home, son. Talk to him.
Yo. No doubt. Yo, Little Dap, yo, what up, man? Yo, mad props to you, fam, for real, man. Big fan over here, you heard?
Peace, brother. Peace to you and your loved ones.
Word. Yo, Dap, I got to ask you this question, man. Yo, do you remember where you were and how you felt the first time you heard your joint on the radio, my man?
Yeah, I was in East New York. I was in New York, chilling in the hood, you know, because I couldn't tell niggas it was me because I'm still living at my mother's house. So, you know, I'm in the bar with the hot niggas, never flexing them niggas, do it on. I still ain't tell nobody. Only people was around. You know what I mean? Because I'm still in the street. And I couldn't do it like that. I had to be on the cuff. Batman shit.
Right.
I was in the East when I came out. They got on the radio station. I woke my mother up. I said, yo, they playing. Matter of fact, my mother came and told me. I was in the room smoking weed. They're playing your song. I said, what you talking about? And I opened up the door. I said, they're bugging out. What you talking about? And I go and I listen. I said, oh, shit, they are playing it. I call my boy. He's got a birthday. Oh, they're playing Super Soul. Oh, shit. You know, so I knew Superstar was going to jump off because me and my piece to my man Dino DeValle, because ain't nobody have no Superstar because the way that all happened, you know, me, Guru, we pressed up like 1,200 pieces of wax, and we put Superstar, J-Ru song, Come Clean, and Silk song, whatever song he had, that didn't go nowhere. The only songs I made about that 12-inch with me and J-Ru song. Whoever popped off on this 12-inch, boom, this is what we did behind. J-Ru popped off first, we got behind Come Clean. After Come Clean, boom, group home, because I'm already like, okay, he popped up, boom, we need something mellow. Bam. We got pushing Superstar niggas, DJs every night. On the pop, people going to everybody every night, coming home like 4 in the morning, then right back up, back into label, 9, 10 in the morning. Up there, boom, and do it again. Yeah, my man getting in the value. This guy, you guys got Superstar. You know? So they were already open for Come Clean. So we were like, we got to let them know. You know, because we questioned this shit, putting it out independently.
Right.
So, that was whack.
Wow.
They get to the universe. And stuff like that. Then Payday Records and everybody got behind it. And, we took it to the next level. That was Payday Records, you know, which is cool manager, Patrick Moxie and all those guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Yo, listen, while the four people, while y'all ain't here showing man love, the Little Dap, Life the Oracle Call, Mark Lott, Radar Van, the MPC Killer Lord Manifest Show. Yo, man, I want y'all to support, man. Hit that $ the MPC Killer 718BK. Show that love, man. Send $2, $3, Cash App, whatever you want. The Cash App is just to support me and what I'm doing and how I keep my show running, because I'm trying to bring, you know, dope-ass MCs to my platform. I can get on here and try to make myself, you know, on top of artists like Rusty Chucks, fucking Lil Dap or what have you. But no, it ain't about me. It's about Lil Dap. And I'm just trying to bring your dope-ass MC. So show love to the Cat Jack while I got five people watching and all that. Like the Oracle, how that Lil Dap from the group home.
For real, me, I'm just a fan. For real, I'm an artist too. But I just want to just shout you out for the inspiration you have on some of us coming up that came up like that through those trenches, you know, even with the name.
Yeah.
You know, and that voice, that iconic voice, and working with Guru, you know, and having stories I'm all about here, you know, J. Rooted Damager. Yeah, the first album had a lot of samples on there, like including Isaac Hayes. So we got real music over here that we're talking about.
Yeah, I know. You know, coming from that, yeah, you're right. The samples and using all that, I know, because I got sued by the Beatles, so I know how that shit is. You know, once they heard our music and shit, and they see we were going with it, they let it go. We paid them, but they let it go. They liked it, well, I think it was Living Proof, one of them superstar Living Proof.
Little Dap, you know you making noise. If motherfuckers like the Beatles try to sue you, son, you done made noise. You know.
Yep.
That's true. Yeah, you made noise.
Because we used the first day on our album, that's the boom, 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 boom. That's the Beatles and shit. So, yeah, they definitely came back because they heard our awareness and things like that. But, you know, they were cool. You know, and we took care of it. That's why y'all got the album. You know, put a big voice on it. And we could have just got it out of the way, that sample piece, and boom, it kept the album moving. But, you know, it worked with us. And that's why y'all got the album right now.
Hey, thank you, Jack.
Anything like that you didn't release that you might could bang us in the heads with, you know, that we hoping for, like, any music that you had in the stash with Guru that we can expect to hear that's coming out, like unreleased stuff?
I got new stuff that's coming out. I got this new song that's called Teach Me How to Love. It's a beautiful song. I got something on my hand.
No good.
You know? So you're definitely going to hear it in the airwaves. Oh, you definitely got it. It's a hot one. It's hot. Nice, beautiful song. It's something for the universe. You know what I mean?
That's what we want to hear. What's good, Mark?
I can't wait to hear your new music. I swear. I can't wait to hear it. You know.
It's a beautiful sound. It'll bring you back in the era. You know, it's a beautiful song. A very beautiful song.
Wait, hold up. Pour me that. What life? Rewind that life? What you said?
I'm sorry. I wanted to know if he was still producing and if how people could reach out for tracks and things.
Yeah, I still, like I said, you know, I still do my music, and I'm kind of like secret, you know, when it comes to this, you know, my music, because, you know, I have a job to do, so it's not about me when it comes to music, you know, I'm just a messenger.
Now, what about production, Lil Dap? How can people get production from you? Like, are you open for doing beats for other people, or are you just keeping it in-house?
Oh, I'm open for that, and the party that's behind me that's helping me do these tracks, yes, they are open for that. You can hit me at littledap72@yahoo.com, and I can wave it to my production team. I have a bunch of young little guys around me doing good work with production that need to be heard. And I use the group home pipeline for them to be heard, you know, with their talent.
No doubt.
I'm just a hand to the street.
Repeat that email again,
Little Dap, 72@yahoo.com. Hit me on that, boom.
All right, for y'all that's listening, We got Little Dap from the Gangstar Foundation. Matter of fact, Little Dap, is it okay that I say Gangstar Foundation?
It's Little Dap.
Just Little Dap, okay. Well,
Little Dap or Group Home?
Group Home, okay, yeah. No doubt. We just left.
Gangstar is Gangstar. Always remember this. Gangstar already has their group. I have my group. Everybody has their own group. That's why we did everything like this. Everybody has their own pipeline. That was just the forefront, you know, for us to come out. You know, like how Wu-Tang did, you know, the same, you know. Everybody has their pipeline. Gangstar, Gangstar. We branch off from that. It's like a tree. You know what I mean? And now you got Group Home. You got J-Ru. Everybody has their own pipeline.
Okay,
you know, when,
I got
it. You know, Group Home. Boom, Little Dap with Group Home.
Okay, wait,
yeah,
yo,
I'm not trying to confuse my audience.
Oh, okay, no doubt. What there you have. Wait, well, not really, because I dig what you said, Little Dap, but all these fans, like I got a guy right now, my man Charles.
A lot of them don't know about Gangstar like that. Those fans that came up, that think about the new generation too.
Okay.
A lot of them ain't come from the 80s and stuff like that. Some of these people were kids.
No doubt.
Not born yet.
No doubt.
Some of these people wasn't born yet, but, you know, it's a handful of people at our age.
Wait, hold on. Wait, hold up, Mike. Little Dap, run that back. What you said?
I said, Gangstar, Group Home is Group Home.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I got that. Yeah,
you know,
no doubt.
So when you Group Home, anything me or anything you say, you know, a Little Dap of Group Home. I don't want to confuse my audience. Little Dap of Gangstar Foundation, and they, you know, Little Dap of Group Home. That's, you know, they know we come from that. You know,
okay.
But we have our own pipeline that we set up. We have our own pipeline.
No doubt. You walk live. You there?
Yeah. No, I want to ask Dap. Like after the second album, you know, why didn't y'all do a third album? Because it just seemed like, you know, when you think about all the people you worked with, the phenomenal music that you were doing, and then the production on the second album, you know what I'm saying? And then y'all working with Alchemist and all those guys. What happened with a third album with you guys? And I would think that y'all would have got after that album, that production and what y'all did would have, you know, kept yourselves in the major label system. What went wrong with that?
You got, you know, back then, you know, we, you don't want to work with certain people or certain, you know, parties and things of that nature. Back then, you know, you had a lot of blackball. They had a lot of people saying, oh, don't work with this person, don't work with that person, because they had a title behind them. You know what I mean? So I try to break that title, that title behind me, really, regarding, like, oh, for example, without a man's beat, they ain't gonna make it. So I tried to break that title as far as breaking that cycle, you know, when it came to the second project and putting it out there like that. So I dealt with a lot of people, like an Alchemist, this one, that one, you know, helping people get, you know, give them a chance to our pipeline, you know, while they were hungry, coming up. And I think it's in my ears, different types of sounds and things of that nature. You know, and like I said, I helped a lot of artists, a lot of people. There's a lot of work, you know what I mean? And I always tell them, you know, I can say one person's name that's big as shit right now, but I ain't going to put them on Broadway right now. But the only thing I told that person, like, you know, when they asked me regarding their company, like, you know, if you're going to use this title that you got for my album or whatever, and you're going to use it for your company, just don't forget us. Like I told Alchemist and everybody, if you make the bump, bump, just don't forget us. You know, just, you know, remember us if you make the bump, bump, bump. But, you know, it's the music industry. People, you know, it's selective memory loss. They make it and they don't know you no more. So that's understandable. You know, me, I'm a producer. So, I have to separate myself. You know, from those type of parties, you know, I thought they were keeping it real. I thought they were like me, basically. But everybody's not like you, so, you know, So that's why you didn't hear a third or second album, because, you know, certain parties, they got where they needed to go, use the pipeline, and disappear like Houdini, you know.
Wow. No, I think that's that typical industry thing, and I can feel where you, what you went through, you know what I'm saying? Like, you had to, you helped build, you know, the whole, you know, blueprint for what, you know, Gangstar was going to be, you know, being on the first album and doing all those guest appearances, and then, you know, with the classic y'all dropped. And then you knew you had to kind of switch up because you didn't want that typecast of just, this is a primo group, you know what I'm saying? But then, you know, like you said, the black,
you know, everybody was getting, they were forgetting, you know, who, you know, money started getting involved. So money started changing a lot of people's faces and start making up a lot of lies. So I felt back from all that, you know, I'm like, nah, this is not what it was supposed to be, you know. So yeah, I felt back. You know, so when they came to me to do, when we was at a major, I mean, when we could pay their polygram and stuff like that, and they were like, let's do another one. I'm like, why should I do another one? The first one didn't go anywhere. I was still living at my mother's house. You know what I mean? When the first album really blew up. So once I seen that, I thought, I didn't come to this game to get robbed like this. I'd rather deal with the street. At least I know where I stand in the streets, you know? So it was a corporate world of robbery. And, you know, I backed out. I said, you know, and then they tell me it can be a cold world for you out there. And I said, so what? I'm from the street. So whatever it is, so be it. You know, it's going to be death, whatever, I'm prepared. I let them know that, you know. You're going to be up in these offices. Yeah, we're talking about it be a cold world for you out here. If I don't do a deal, fuck you.
Right.
Nah, nigga. I know to bust my gun. That's it.
No doubt.
That's why I didn't do a second album. The second album we did independent. We did it all, you know, the street helped me out with that one. I was not on nigga for that one.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Dap, let me ask you, because we was talking, I was talking to you about the funny-ass skit or tip for the ghetto. Who was the people on there? You said Mike Epps. How did that
Mike Epps. He was on, you know, I think Groupon was probably like the first group that probably used him for the more music or whatever, you know, that time. And he came in the studio, did his thing. And Mike Epps on that, you know, early part of his career, and he did the skits on my album.
That's crazy, because when I looked at, when I had the CD, I don't know how the fuck I missed that part, Dap. I didn't even know that was Mike Epps in the skit. Yo, Mark, you gotta peep that.
Yeah, we use him and stuff like that. He did all the skits for my album for me.
Shit was hilarious.
Yeah, I paid him, had him come in the studio, 99, and do the work and all that. He's cool dude, cool brother.
No doubt.
Yeah, man, you a humble dude, man. Like, you one of those guys, man, that really can look at the whole industry scope and see the influences you had and the stuff that you did first, man. And it's to your testament that you stayed humble through all the bullshit, because I know it was crazy, you know what I'm saying, knowing what you've done and what you're capable of doing and how you put projects together. You know what I'm saying? I know, you know, over these years, you know, you had to really, you know, find some kind of humility in this industry, you know?
Yeah, I had to start all over again because I had to start all over it regarding getting a new business team and getting new parties behind me to help me with the talent because, like I said, the talent we have, all of us have talent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to fall back, you know, from the parties you're around, you know, get God met you out, you know what I mean? You don't know why you're falling back or whatever, but it's not about you, it's about him. And I started learning, like, when it's about him, it's his time, it ain't your time. But he gonna block them people, he gonna block out the wolves. Anybody that's trying to harm you, or, you know, he's gonna block them out. and he will block them out. They won't even know how they got blocked out, but he will block them out when he's work to do regarding him. And like I said, group homies, like I said, we just ghetto messengers through our music and the way we are, you know, we're not perfect or anything like that. We just as bad as everybody else, but we're just a different type of group. I ain't got no problem speaking about spirituality, X, Y, and Z, and things of that nature and what happens in the world today. That's what Guru taught us, and I passed it through my music, like me and him used to talk, you know. And that's how y'all used to get gangs on the words and things he talk about to y'all, you know, being around me, because I couldn't write and do these things, so I dictated to him.
Wow, that's big right there. What's up with Malachi, the Nutcracker, little dad? How's he doing?
He's doing all right. His mom take care of him, you know. He's not mentally all there like that, but his mom's help him out, take care of him. I just keep him alive through the music with me. And things of that nature, you know. But, he should be all right, you know. His mom take care of him, you know. We come to group home, I always keep this up, you know. But that's my baby, you know. I break him up, you know. Thank you for the first place break. I'm keeping it alive to the fans, that's me.
Believe that. Like the Oracle.
Shout out Malachi Nutcracker. Thank you again for coming on the show. You really inspired so many you don't even know. For real.
Yeah.
So I'm here that you're coming out with new music. That's crazy. I can't wait. So you got to get at me first when it's coming out. You got to find me because I want to hear that. In my whole soul, I want to hear that. I need to hear that. Okay?
Yeah, some good spiritual, some good sounds. I mean, this joint, like I said, this new joint I'm about to put to the universe is called Teach Me How to Love. And you need something in the universe regarding that any other way. You need some love in the airways. Too much death and just death, life, death. So it's either now or never in life right about now. So, y'all, what you're going to do, whatever you believe in, find them. And then follow it, and you know, and that's all I can say, because in life we live today, these are now or never. That's it. Ain't no in between. Now or never. You can see it in front of your face. You're killing rappers. They're killing everything that you think they wasn't. You know, like, it's in your face. You can see it. You can read about it.
Yeah,
we
can see it. Yes.
Yo, Dap, I want to...
Hold your head up, man.
Yeah.
Life's not a game. Life ain't no game. Everything going tomorrow. The trees is the answer for tomorrow.
That's
You're
true.
Not.
That's true. Go ahead, Mark Rip.
Tap, I want to ask you, what do you think of the state of hip-hop right now? What you just said about rappers getting killed every week, you know, the new type of music, the drill, and just production-wise, like the Oracle said, you know, using Isaac Hayes and Bob James and playing on Jasmine Taz, how do you feel about the lack of time and care that artists are putting into music and the fact that it's just all murder, death, kill?
Demon music. It has no substance behind it. A lot of it's demon music. It's a handful of people trying to put that word out there. It's like, put it like this, it's like having the Holy Ghost. A handful of people have the power who believe and that can save people, who can really save people, but they're scared because they feel they're amongst wolves and stuff like that. They're scared to yell the power, you know? So this is how you find a lot of people just dying. We ain't got no more big brothers, no more big sisters, so everybody getting scared. You know what I'm saying? Me, I'm out here with these people, so I hear their pain firsthand because I'm out here with them, you know, the young generation. I'm short, man. I'm young. I'm short. Even though I'm older, I'm short. That still look young, so they flock to me. You grow young. They think I'm young. They think I'm a little shorty or whatever. You know, so I see things firsthand, like what's going on out here. I hear their cry. A lot of these people that's in positions and older, they're not trying to have these people. They're like, oh, they crazy. Get the motherfuckers away from me. Nah, they're trying to say something. You know, they got something just like when we, you know what I mean? Just an era and different time. You know, you got to learn and adapt. That's why I put out my album, my personal, my solo album, I Adapt. I adapt to all situations of life because I'm out here with these people. You know what I mean? With no money like that. You know, I understand. I drop people off going to the welfare office still. I drop people. So I'm out here with these people. It's not just, I got money, I made it, boom, and hide out, boom. Yeah, it's understandable, but think about those who didn't make it and got to be stuck out here with them. What about them? You got people who make it in this industry and forget this industry is kind of phony. It's fake to me, I call it sometimes. Because motherfuckers get where they need to go and they forget about where they came from.
Correct.
And they forget about the people that helped them put that money in their pocket. So, and then they want to wait. You know, we got steak, y'all got bologna, ha, 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 ha. And then want to talk about, oh, it ain't my fault, he like that. But yet, this motherfucker bought all your music. And if not, his family bought your music. But, you know, so I try to stray away from all that fake, phony, rap shit. I'm rich. And you got this and that. It's nothing but a bunch of demons, I call it. A bunch of demons to try to convert you to do something that's not you.
Now keep it right there, Little Dap. I like how you broke that down for us. You know, the way the hood is, how shit is. You know, for us,
the hood is like that. It's not even a hood. It, you know, the hood is crying out for help.
A chair for the ghetto, like you said.
The only people I respect, like Jay-Z, people like that, that open up companies, open up things to get people jobs and help them from a distance. People like that, these are the people we need more of.
Right. Now let me ask you this. You need more of those type of people doing like that.
You need more of those people to do what Jay's doing. That's the big thing. I'll use him for an example. You need more people like him to open up. I don't see rappers doing what that man doing like that and open up job fairs and doing like that to get people work, to get them on their feet, to help their loved ones. That's different. I don't see rappers, a lot of them doing that, investing their money into the people. There's a difference.
Now, when you talk like that, Little Dad, can you tell everyone that's listening, can you speak on a low-budget environment?
Yeah. Low-budget environment. You represent all low budget environments around the world.
That was my title,
you know, for my little company, Low Budget Environment. That's the name of my music company, you know what I mean? So, you know, regarding that, I just, you know, like I said, I use that pipeline, low budget environment, for example. I use Coupon Pipeline to help those who can't be heard.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I use that pipeline for that, you know, when it comes to low budget environment, my company. You know, I use that for, you know, like I say again, for people who can't be heard. You know, so I put them on track. I do things in that nature. I hear that cry.
That's
what that company put up.
Hey, yo, Carl, you still there, Carl?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
Holla back at that. What else you want to ask you?
Yeah, yo, Dap, man, I got a very important question to ask you, man. And the question is, what's one of the most important things that you learned about the music industry or that was taught to you about the music industry?
Contract.
Okay.
Yeah, speak on that. I know you relate to that more, Clive, but you said that. Don't talk about contracts and all that. And what does it take for artists to know the business? Some get sucked in.
Get you a good music lawyer outside of everybody. Get a music lawyer that nobody knows. That's all I can say.
Believe that right there. Like the Oracle, any last questions you want to ask Little Dap before he get up out of here?
Just basically, you know, working with Guru, who is, to me, one of my favorite artists of all time. The voice, his flow, the message, y'all coming out. Forgive me for asking, but how did you get through when you heard the news of his passing? How did you push through that? Because that shocked everybody.
Yeah, it affected me. You know, it took me a minute not to do music for a while. I'm like, damn, this is really happening. You know, when it hit me like that, I'm like, you know, it's real. You know, life is real. You know, here to take on tomorrow. So, you know, I got it on it like that. I'm like, oh, wow. And I'm like, all right, you know, I'm glad that we used to talk the way we used to talk and prepare yourself, like, in case anything happened. Oh, you know, like I said, you know, just like when people ask me, why you ain't doing another album with the man? No, I was preparing myself in case anything happened regarding the situation now. You know, in case, you know, the person had something happen to that person. Who's going to do your beat? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? So we always been like, you know, ahead of time, you know, because we used to talk like this, you know, so... it hit me, but we were also preparing ourselves in case anything happened. You can hear it through the music.
Mm-hmm.
It was already, you know, kind of prepared, you know what I mean, for the worst to come to worst, you know what I mean?
Cool. Well,
legacy always lives on, you know, through us and through you and through those that love his music, you know, and want to hear you. That's why I say it's so important. Music out there, continue on that legacy and real music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's why we repent. That's why we sit in the studio so much. You know, preparing ourselves for these type of situations that we keep the good music out there for the universe and for the fans and things of that nature. You know, to keep passing the message. You know, we just get the messages. That's all.
And we're holding. We'll hold it right there. Any advice, Little Dap, to people coming to me if you want to get in? Any advice you want to leave the people with?
I guess we lost some people.
Dap, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, any advice you want to give to people?
Nah, hey, just stay focused, pray, and as a body, pray first, then go for it, you know, and then take it from there. Take it from there, kid, you know. Look at the world today, right? And keep it focused, and stay focused, and just go ahead, you know. Don't listen to too many people. You'd be stuck like a rock, you know. Just keep it moving. Elevate.